Good morning. It's 10:30, and this is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Matt McKay, along with Stephen Humphreys. It's currently 0 degrees outside of our East York studios, and here's what's making headlines. Vive la France! Sarkozy steps up to answer Harper's call for more troops in Afghanistan. Bell Canada tells federal courts that they are not in the business of sharing networks. A Michigan fifth grader catches the Smithsonian Institute with their pants down. And the Jays win their first of the year. Details coming up in sports. But first, to our top story. France's playboy prime minister showed he can play politics too after answering Canada's call for more troops in Afghanistan. Nicolas Sarkozy formally announced just hours ago that France will send a fresh battalion of troops to Afghanistan. The French troops are expected to be sent to the eastern part of the region to relieve American troops in the area so they may join Canadian soldiers with their fighting in Kandahar. But Sarkozy won't specifically say how many troops France would deploy, as a battalion usually consists of 800 to 1,000 troops. Other countries are also expected to join the French today in announcing their own troop increases. That's great news for Canadian troops, but here in Ontario the news isn't so great financially speaking. Royal Bank of Canada has forecasted that Ontario's export economy will be taking a harder hit than other provinces this year, thanks in large part to a heavy reliance on U.S. demand for its products. RBC's chief economist Craig Wright also said that Ontario's labor markets are showing signs of slowing down. However, Wright believes the slowdown will only be short-lived thanks to positives in such areas as a healthy real estate market and rising wages. Speaking of better times ahead, Aboriginal people in Australia were given some great news. Prime Minister Kevin Rudd announced recently that at the reopening of Parliament, his first order of business would be an official apology to the Aboriginals for centuries of oppression. Australian musician and Aboriginal supporter Xavier Rudd believes this has been a long time coming. He spoke to Drew Berner at a recent tour stop at Toronto's Danforth Music Hall.
It was a movement of the people, like many times before, who stood up for peace and sat down for war.
Xavier Rudd was raised on music, spirituality, and respect for the earth. You can hear it each time he strums a chord or pounds out a beat. Being raised in rural Australia, he grew up close to its Aboriginal people, learning their traditions and their history. Australian Prime Minister Kevin Rudd announced recently that his government would be making an official apology to his country's native people for centuries of oppression. The musician Rudd was happy to hear that the people he's so close to would finally be getting something they've long deserved.
It's a start. That's what I think about it. It's a start. There's a long, long way to go.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of oppression. It's one of the biggest oppressions in our modern world, you know, this situation in Australia. And it's ongoing. It's still the same.
Well, yeah.
And it's the same here in Canada.
Some of Xavier Rudd's favorite instruments are his yidaki, which are didgeridoos that some believe are the world's oldest musical instruments. They were given to him as gifts by native elders from his homeland. While on his current North American tour, he's brought along an Australian Aboriginal performer who plays the yidaki alongside Rudd at each concert. Many of Rudd's songs, such as Mana and Message Stick, use the instrument extensively. But as important as his music and his commitment to Aboriginal people are to him, his family will always be his top priority. When asked what he would do with his life if he didn't have music, Rudd replied,
"Live with my kids in the bush and surf."
Really? That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Xavier Rudd's North American tour continues west through the Canadian prairies, wrapping up with a sold-out show February 22nd in Vancouver. Drew Berner, Centennial College Radio News.
Thanks, Drew. And now to the question of the day. Are the Smithsonian Institution experts smarter than a fifth grader? The answer appears to be no. During his winter break from school, 11-year-old Kenton Stufflebeam of Allegan, Michigan, visited the Smithsonian with his family. During the visit, Kenton noticed that a notation had mistakenly identified the Precambrian as an era. Everyone but the Smithsonian knows that the Precambrian is in fact a dimensionless unit of time that embraces the period from the origins of the Earth to the Cambrian period. Kenton and his father reported the concern to the information desk, and just last week, Kenton received a letter from the museum saying that his observation was, quote, spot on. The note also said that they will correct the problem by simply painting over the word era. And that's the latest news. We're going to go take a brief break, but don't go anywhere. We got Stephen Humphreys coming up with sports.
Now here's your sports. Ask the T.O. Raptors how it feels to be on the wrong end of someone else's winning streak. Last night, the Atlanta Hawks landed their fifth straight victory, moving them ahead in the NBA's Eastern Conference. It came close, however. Raps guard T.J. Ford made a tie-beating layup during the last tick of the regulation clock, but after refs saw the replays, they said Ford's genius didn't beat the buzzer. The final score was 127-120 for the Hawks. Good thing the Jays can do something, right? The Toronto Blue Jays fly home now after a comeback win against the New York Yankees. Despite chilly weather in New York, the Jays ended with a cool 5-2 lead. This win makes up for a spate of bird brain plays in Tuesday's matchup against the Yanks, which goes to show that in baseball, two runs against three ain't too great. Tomorrow, the Jays play their opening home game against the beleaguered Boston Red Sox, who lurch into what could be their 100th season as playoffs poison. And now for a special report. The University of Toronto Scarborough men's lacrosse team just lost their second game this season. It was a roller coaster of a game with lots of energy involved. Kirsten Waters has the story.
They played against U of T's Engineering at the Varsity Field Athletic Center, known to everyone as the Bubble. Scarborough was up 3 points at the end of the first period and playing a great game. However, they fell behind in the second period after a 10-0 Engineering run, but that didn't let them get discouraged. One of the game's standout players, Adam Chamberlain, reflects on the team's mood after the period.
I think we came a little bit flat-footed after the first. We were a little bit eager. We wanted to show these guys what we were all about. You know, we heard them talk on the sidelines. They didn't really think that much of us, so, you know, a lot of new guys, a lot of unproven guys. That doesn't mean that, you know, we don't match them talent-wise. We got the legs and we had enough guys on the bench, so I think we really stuck with them. But, you know, the talent differential really came through in the second and third period. So.
After a shaky second period, the guys got it together and scored three more points. The final score was 16-8 for Engineering, but Chamberlain is still hopeful.
Our second game in now, I think we could definitely finish out the season with a couple wins, a pair of wins to close out. But, I think we got a good chance.
The team's mentality is that win or lose, they're out there to have fun, and Coach Dallas Boyer backs that up.
He told us in the first tryout that win or lose, beers after the game always taste the same, so that's kind of the motto of the team.
Next Wednesday, the guys will play Trinity College. This is Kirsten Waters reporting for Centennial College Radio News.
More pain, misery, and defeat now. The Toronto Maple Leafs definitely won't finish their 07-08 season with Mats Sundin as captain. After testing his loins at Monday practice, Sundin declared that his groin tear from a game against Philadelphia won't heal soon enough for him to skate well. Maybe Sundin just said, what's the point? The Leafs kiboshed any Stanley Cup hopes when the Bruins trashed them last week. Sundin becomes a free agent on July 1st, but says that whatever happens, he'll retire in Maple Leafs blue. Speaking of groin pulls, FIA Prez Max Mosley admits that he got naked with five prostitutes, but forget about the Nazi stuff. Mosley, top dog of the world governing body for auto racing, is threatening to sue a UK paper for smearing his name. The Brit tabloid News of the World claim they have footage of Mosley getting whipped by call girls dressed like Nazis in a fetish dungeon made to resemble a concentration camp. Mosley denies the Nazi role-playing and says he will not resign. And that's sports for today. Over to Matt.
Thanks, Stephen. And that's the news for now as well. Stick around for more news coming up in 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of Stephen Humphrey, I'm Matt McKay for Centennial College Radio News. Thanks for listening.